Holding on, Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, by the first Mishnah. The previous Mishnah had talked about that, which started talking about which kinds of women get a ksuba of 200 zuz and which ones get 100. We said a basula gets 200, an almana gets 100, and we talked about what if an almana is still a basula, meaning that she's an almana only from the erusin and there has not yet been nisuin. So continuing on that topic, the Mishnah says, Hagiyurus vashvuya vashifa, Hagiyurus, or shvuya, Jewish woman who was captured by Goyim, which we're going to talk about that more extensively in the next parak, Vashivcha, and a Shivcha Knanis. So all of those, there's a Chazaka that while they were among the Goyim, they may have had relations. The Giyuris and the Shivcha were Goytis, and they're promiscuous, and the Shvuya, we're going to talk about extensively in the next parak, there's the possibility that her captors may have raped her. So all of those, Shiniftu, Vashiniskaru, Vashinishtahu, all of them, if they were redeemed from captivity or converted or freed as a shivcha, the order is out of order, but it's common sometimes that the Mishnah will do that, that it doesn't bother about the Seder. So if that happened, when any of these women were less than 3 years old, now, even if they had relations under 3 years old, we say throughout Shas the basulim will grow back. Therefore, now we should expect to find them basulis. So therefore, ksubas and masayim. So therefore, their ksuba is going to be 200 zuz like any other basula. And the husband can have a tainus basulim on them because he can say after he married, he discovered they're not a basula, as we talked about in the last couple of blocks, where there's the possibility that it depends. Again, either he might be saying, as we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara, is he saying that he wants to say that it's a nekach tos and I shouldn't have to be married to her at all? Is he saying that I want to stay married, but it should be only a ksuba of 100 zuz rather than 200? So you have the various possibilities over there again, whether this, that they may have had relations, is there a possibility that it would be something that would make her usur to him? In this particular case, only with the shvuya would there be such an issue. With the giyurus and the shivcha, there it's a different matter. If they were below, if they're anyway possible to a kohen and to a yisrael, it wouldn't matter even if they had had relations voluntarily when they were, whether they were above or below 3 years old. So that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara starts off with a side point which is going to tie back in to our Mishnah. Mishnah says, Omer Rav Huna, ger katan matvilan oise al das beistin. When you have a minor ger, so let's say, for example, he has no father, so Rashi says, let's say his mother is coming to bring him to be nisgayer. Nowadays, you have a somewhat common kind of thing where non-Jewish kids are adopted by Jewish couples, but again, the kid's goyish father is not in the picture, but it would be the same thing Rashi is mentioning over here, the typical example where the mother brings him, but in fact, the Ran says the same thing would be if the kid comes on his own, or as we have nowadays where they adopt him. Anyway, so matbilan oisei al das beistin, they can tovel him al das beistin, meaning that beistin on their own das can get together a panel of three, like you always need for the tevilah of a ger, as we talked about in Yavamas. They stand, Rashi says, they stand in the place of her father, of his father, and therefore he becomes a valid ger. To the extent where Rashi says, for example, that wine he touches will be kosher. The point being, in other words, that he's a full-fledged yid. So the point is, in other words, Beistin may not be responsible. We learned at the end of Yavamas a topic about that Beistin is not necessarily responsible for a cotton to prevent him from doing aveiros. So they're not necessarily responsible on an ongoing basis to make sure that he does mitzvahs and doesn't do aveiros, but nevertheless, they do have the ability to say, therefore, that that wine that he touches remains kosher and doesn't become yainness. Tosfos discusses at some length over here about the ins and outs of that. How do we, a cotton has no shlichus, so how can we do schus for him? And Tosfos discusses that the whole thing may only be dirabon. So that gets into a discussion then whether the Chachamim have the ability to override laws of the Torah, which we talked about in Yavamas. So all Gemara would be following the opinion that they do even on a kum vase, even when it's they're in effect saying in that Torah this kid would still be a goy, but midrabanan we're going to make him a yid, and that would be valid for all purposes in halacha. There is actually an interesting point Moshe makes in one of his Chuvas that maybe nowadays, at least, they should tovel the kid again after he becomes Baru. We're going to talk about in a few lines in the Gemara that the kid, when they become Baru Bas Mitzvah, has the ability to renounce their Gerus. So Moshe talks in one of his Chuvas that maybe nowadays it would be a good idea to be Megayer, that to be Megayer the Mechumra again after they're 12 or 13, just because nowadays in America, where you have so many people that are not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, it's a little hard to say for sure that it's Zchusulai to become a Yid, where unfortunately they may not end up keeping mitzvahs, and then it wouldn't be a Zchus for them, so therefore better you should redo it after they become Barabbas Mitzvah. I don't know whether they do that Halach Lemaisa. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Mai Kamash Malan. Now, what is Rav Huna's Chiddush? Is Zchusulai? The point Rav Huna is telling us is that it's a Zchus for a person to become a Ger, and we don't need and v'zochin la'adam shalai b'fanav, and that we know that you can make a schus for a person not in his presence. So in this case, he's present, but he doesn't have das. So is that what Ravuna is telling us? In that case, tanena. Well, in that case, we learn a braisa that says that zochin la'adam shalai b'fanav bein chavin la'adam shalai b'fanav. You can create a schus for a person even shalai b'fanav, even without his das, but a choiv you can only create with his das. So if we say that it's a schus for him, then what's the chiddush? So actually the Shittur Mukhabetzis talks about that since the Gemara brought both halves of the Braisa, the Ein Chavin Loi La'odim Shalei B'fanav, it implies only if it's a total chayva is going to be a problem. If it's something sort of in between, now certainly the Gemara is assuming that Geirus is not a total chayva. There may be a chayva aspect in it because now he's chayav in mitzvahs where he wasn't before. But the Gemara is assuming that at least it's somewhere between a schus and a chayva, and therefore that it should be fine. So in that case, then Rav Huna is not telling us any chiddush based on the braisa over the braisa. The answer is ma'u detema. Without Rav Huna telling us, you would think, in fact, it's not a schus at all. You could argue that a guy wants hefkerus, he wants to live a life where he can do whatever he wants. After all, we know that that's true of an eved. An eved knani, we say in other places in Chas, likes his hefkerus, and therefore he would rather, so like this, when he's an eved, when he's an eved, he's chayev in certain mitzvahs, but in particular, he's allowed to have relations with any shifcha he wants. He's also in a Bas Yisrael, but there's no concept of marriage for him. He's allowed to be with any shifcha he wants, so he likes that kind of hefkerus. Tosfos teaches out, to be exact. Now, you do have a machlokas on that in Gittin, whether avda v'hefkeru nichalei or not. What we're talking about, that's when you're talking about, so an eved, you can say, okay, there's a certain advantage because now he becomes a ben chorin. Before he was a slave, now he becomes free. So in that sense, there's a schus for him. But certainly, when it comes to a goy who's already a ben chorin, then at least according to the mayor's perspective, that even by an eved, we would say, avda v'hefkeru nichalei, certainly we would say that all the more by a goy. So then you would think, therefore, that v'hefkeru nichalei, kamash malon, therefore, Rav Huna tells us that no. Dahani mili godo. That only applies to an adult. Detam tam di isura. He's already, in his lifetime, tasted what isurim are. He's experienced the various kinds of things that are mutter to goyim and also to Jews. So therefore, he might well want to remain a goy, and therefore we can't be megayer him bal korchoy or without his das or whatever. Avo katan, but a child who hasn't really been through that. Zchus, although you can say that for him it's a zchus, and therefore, so there's no behefkeir nichale, and therefore that's Rav Huna's chiddush, to be aware that it is a zchus. Once we know that it's a zchus for him, then yeah, we know the Braisa tells us zochin la'adam shalai b'fanav. But Rav Huna's main chiddush is the fact that the geirus for him as a child is in fact a zchus. Okay, so the Gemara says lema mesayle. Now that we establish that, now can we say that that our Mishnah supports him. Our Mishnah had said, "Agiyuris v'ashruya v'ashifcha shenifdu v'shem esgaidu v'shem eshtachru v'chusis v'dais shalosh shanim yemechad." We talked about the various cases where these women were freed or released or whatever when they were less than 3 years old. Where then again we say, even if they lost their b'sulim at under 3 years old, they'll grow back. So now one of the cases we mentioned is agiyuris. So what's the case? How does a geyurus, how does a woman become a geyurus below 3 years old? My lab dapilinu al das beistin. Wouldn't it have to be the pashtus where they toveled them with the das of the beistin? So in that case, then our Mishnah would bear out what Rav Huna is saying, that in fact you can do that. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. because hoch loy, not necessarily, hoch mayaskinen, begershin is kairu bonav of nois of imai. You could say that we're talking about where the father himself, or the parents together, whatever, became gerim, and his sons and his daughters with him. So then, then we can argue that they would rather go along with what their father is doing. If the father is becoming a ger, then they would like to do the same thing. But not necessarily would that show when we were talking about at the beginning. We said where the father is not around anymore, and if the mother brings him, or we said the Ran said even he brings himself, then okay, a 3-year-old is not bringing herself. Whatever the point is, that somebody else, is some other guardian of hers, is bringing her. Not necessarily is the Mishnah talking about that. Rav Huna then is telling so Rav Huna is telling us a chiddush that we wouldn't have known from the Mishnah. Namely, our Mishnah again could be talking about where she converted together with her father, together with her parents, and Rav Huna is talking about even when it's not with her father or not with her parents, that it works. Now, the Gemara continues, though. Amar Rav Yosef, Higdilu, now Rav Yosef continues on that topic, that when the child becomes older, Yecholim Limchos, then they're able to be Moiche. And here Rashi says, actually, this applies even if they were Nisgaya with their father. Even though we just said they would like to go along with what their father does, that's by default, we assume that. But when they get older, when they become Bar or Bas Mitzvah, they're able to be Moicha and saying, you know what, we don't want to be Gerim, and they go back to being Goy. Now, Rashi points out, if this had happened, for example, if they had been full-fledged Gerim, for example, an adult becomes a Ger, and then he says, you know what, I don't want it anymore, then Beis Din would actually have the power to punish him, because when the next time he doesn't have Eira, he's a Yid, he's a Yisrael Mumma. But here, he's not. We say that it undoes the Gerus completely. And Rashi also adds that it means, for example, if later on he were to be Makadish, a Jewish woman, she wouldn't need a get. Had it been an adult ger, there's no possibility of being Moicha, you can't undo a gerus. So therefore we'd be considered a Yisrael Mumma, and his Kedushin would be valid Kedushin. But now this kid is not, because it's considered as though they weren't a ger in the first place. So the Gemara says, Eisrei Abayis. Abayis says, I have a contradiction to you, Rabbi Yosef. Our Mishnah had said, Hagiyuris Vashvuya Vashifa, Shinifdu Vishnizgayr Vishnishnafu, Pussis Mides Shalashan Vyamech Ksubasim Masayim, that we have the case, including of a Giyuris, where we say she gets a Ksuba of 200. Now, Abaya asks, you're telling me that when she gets older, she can be Moicha, and we're assuming, Abaya is assuming in his question, that she could be Moicha at any time. It sounds like, the way Rabbi Yosef had said it generically, it sounds like she could be Moicha not just when she turns 12. She could be Moicha when she's 20. She could be Moicha when she's 50 or whatever. So then, what's the logic? How can we tell the husband to give her a ksuba when later on she can be Moicha, and now she's going to end up having that money as a goita? Now, a goita doesn't have a ksuba. So in other words, the point is, That it's not that we have anything against her having money, but on the other hand, we'll say a ksuba is something specifically for Jews. We don't want to give her a ksuba in such a way that it's going to end up retroactively that she was a goita, because then she shouldn't be getting a ksuba in the first place. So what's the logic? If you're telling me, Mela, if you tell me Rav Huna's din, that cotton that bilanos al das based din, then good. It means she's a giyotis, and that's that. But if you, Rav Yosef, all of a sudden are telling us now that she can be moicha at any time, then why should we be assigning her a ksuba? And the answer is l'chi godba. The answer is, you're right. Rav Yosef does not mean that she has forever to be Moicha. She can be Moicha only when she becomes a Gola. So what we do is, in other words, we would put the money for the meanwhile in escrow. Until then, we'd put the money in escrow, and then once she gets past that point, once she gets to be a Gola, then we can give it to her. So again, the Gemara asks, the Gemara didn't understand that L'chi Godla means that that's the deadline. It sounds like L'chi Godla Nami Minchi of Nafta. Still, after she becomes a Gola, it sounds like she could be Moicha and still go out from being a Jewish woman and going back to being a Goita. And the answer is, Kivin Shehigdila, once she became a Gola, once she became Bas Mitzvah, but she shah achas for even a short time, below Nichsa, and she was not Moicha, shuv eni yechol limchos, then she can no longer be Moicha, and then therefore, so now at that point, we can give her the ksuba money, because at that point, she's a Jewish woman, and it's irrevocable. Now, the interesting question is then, so when exactly is she supposed to be Moicha? Tosfos Yeshanim points out the question. I mean, when she's a Ketana, she doesn't yet have Das to be Moicha. When she becomes a Yod, she's going to be Moicha the second she develops space iris. You can't time it that exactly. So Tosfos Yeshanim, in fact, says that what it would have to be is, if she wanted to go back to being a Goita, it would have to be that she started acting as a Goita before she became Bas Mitzvah, and then continued that for a period of time after she became. So in other words, she'd have to be acting as a Goita for a period of time in order for that to work. Tosfos explains differently. Only if she acts with Minag Yehudis, the Minag of Jewish women, after she becomes a Gola, only then would be say that she's a Jew. In other words, according to Tosfos, by default, we would say that if she becomes Bas Mitzvah and she doesn't do anything specifically Jewish, then she still could be Moicha. So in other words, it would only be the first, according to Tosfos, only the first time that she actually specifically does something Jewish would we say that now it's irrevocable. So that's that. And Tosfos has shown him again and said the other way around, that would have to actually be the other way around, that she actually started literally doing goyish things, eating non-kosher food or whatever before Bas Mitzvah, and continued that afterwards. There's other explanations on it as well. There's also the Tosfos Rid on the side of it here has an interesting explanation. He says that the girl, even below Bas Mitzvah, can already have a degree of Das. So you don't need, like Tosfos Hashanim says, to wait until she develops Shtei Cyrus, and how is she going to know when that's going to happen? Rather, according to the Tosfos Rid, as soon as she has enough Das to understand what's the difference between a Jew and a Goy, she would actually already at that point be able to be Moicha. So you have the actual halacha here is that they have to actually be Moicha. I think it's not that more like the Tosfos Yeshanim, they actually have to be Moicha and do something obviously not Jewish. I think otherwise by default we assume that they're a Jew, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway. There is, you know, as you can imagine, there's quite a lot of Shilas Atrumas literature on this topic, especially in recent decades where it became more common for families to become gerim together, and where it's more common for people to adopt children and so forth. So you have quite a bit of a discussion about it in the Shilas Atrumas literature. One interesting thing actually is the Rif doesn't bring this whole thing about Rabbi Yosef about a Gilui Chol Limchas. The Rambam brings it, Shulchan Aruch brings it, the Rif leaves it out. So the Ran says that maybe in fact the Rif would hold that it only applies if the child become a geru giyoris on their own, but not, like we were saying before, Rashi had said that the dinim we're talking about over here are the Sigdilu Yecholim Limchos applies even if they became a ger together with their father. The Ran points out, according to the Rif, maybe not. Maybe if they became a ger with their father, then it's irrevocable anyway. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Masiv Rava. So now Rava asks another question on Rabbi Yosef. We learn at the beginning of the third parak of our Masechta, we're going to talk about the dinim of Oynes and Mefata, or the dinim when a man rapes or seduces a Naira. We're going to have a whole parak on two parakim actually on the ins and outs of that. So the Mishnah starts off there. Eru Nairas, Yeshvahen Knas, the following girls, even though they're posel Lovei Bekohol, even though there's some kind of thing that makes them posel to intermarry freely in the Jewish people, nevertheless, Yeshvahen Knas, there still is a Knas if a man rapes or seduces them. And among them are, the Mishnah starts saying, Habala Mamzeres, if he has relations with a Mamzeres. So even though Mamzeres is a Psula, she's not allowed to freely intermarry into the Jewish people, nevertheless, she's still a Naira Psula, so she has a Knas. So the Knas is still paid. About a Nesina, or Nesina, which we learned about in Yevamos, about the Nesinim, the descendants of the Givonim, who are not allowed to freely intermarry into the Jewish people. About a Kursis, or a Kursis, which is the Kursim that we also had about a lot about them. We had a lot about them throughout Shas. They said the descendants of the Goyish colonists that Sancheirev brought to repopulate out Yisrael after the Aseret HaShvatim were taken into Golos. And we have Machlokes throughout Shas, whether the Gerei Emes or Gerei Arayas. And then we're talking about over here. Talking about it right here, of course, this, and we'll talk about in the third paragraph whether we're talking about according to the opinion that they're Geri Arias or Geri X. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Vala Giyoris, Vala Shvuya, Vala Shifcha. Also, if you had relations with the Giyoris, Shvuya, or Shifcha, Chenifdu, which in his guide over to Shtachar, Pussis, and Mesh Shalashanim Yamechad, where they were freed from captivity or Nisgaya or freed from slavery less than 3 years and a day old, whereas we said in our Mishnah, we assume they still have their Psulim because even if they had relations before that, their Psulim would grow back. So all of those, the Mishnah says, Yesh Lahen Knas, all of those, there is a knas for them, meaning, because if they hadn't been a basula, then there wouldn't be a knas. So again, Rava asked, so you're going to ask the same question as before. If you're saying, Rabbi Yosef, that once the girl becomes older, she could be moicha, same question. How could we give her a knas, money of a knas, which she's going to end, which she could conceivably end up eating as a goyish girl, because she could be moicha and go back to being a goita. And again, as a goita, she's not entitled to this knas. This knas is something specifically for Jewish girls. So doesn't that show that she can't be moicha? And the Gemara answers again, l'chi godla. Again, like before, we're answering that only when she becomes older is she going to be able to be moicha. So here's where Tosfos says actually that since once she becomes a gola, that the whole concept of the knas is only when she becomes a naira, which is itself a gola. We're actually going to talk about later on in the Masechta whether the knas applies to a ketana as well, but it definitely applies to a naira, and a naira by definition is a gola. So here's where Tosfos says what we were just talking about a couple of minutes ago, that only once she starts doing minag Yehudis, only once she starts acting as a Jewish girl does, only then do we say that it's confirmed that she's a Jewish woman. Up until that point, she still would have the ability to be moicha, even if she wasn't doing anything specifically goyish, but she didn't do anything specifically Jewish either, any particular mitzvah, then we would still say that, says Tosfos, she has the ability to undo the Gerus. Anyway, so we're answering the chigodla, but again, the question is the chigodla nami nimchi of nafta. Again, you could argue that once she becomes a gdola, she's going to be able to be moicha and leave and become a goita, and then go back to being a goita. And the answer is no. Kivin she gdola, sha'ach tzvah mirsa, shuvah nirchay lelimfes. Like we said before, once even a short time passed, and she wasn't moicha, then she can't be moicha anymore. So now at that point, we can give her the knas. So according to Tosfos Yishanim, it would be that she would have had to be moicha shortly before she became a gdola, and then continue in that machal for a few days afterwards. According to Tosfos, it's the other way around. If she hasn't yet done minig yehudis, then she still has the ability to be moicha, but once she starts doing minig yehudis, then she can't anymore. And according to the Tosfos, it did. You don't even need that. She could be moicha even before she's bas mitzvah, and that would already take effect. Okay. So we have now Abaya and Rava, each one used a different Mishnah to ask on Rabbi Yosef. Abaya used our Mishnah, but not the Mishnah from Elu Nairus and from the third Perek, and Rava used the Mishnah from the third Perek and not our Mishnah. So now, why did each one of them pick a different one? Abaya loy omaka Rava. Abaya didn't want to use the Mishnah that Rava asked for, about knas in the third parak, because you could say the reason is hosam, hosam, knasa, because you know what, there you're talking about a knas. You're penalizing the man who had relations with her. So the kind of time, yeah, I can give you a reason. You know what, you could say even then, maybe we don't care so much that she's going to go to being a goita, big deal, she'll be a goita. But on the other, the flip side is, we don't want to have, what are we going to say, because she potentially could end up becoming a goita, because she could end up conceivably undoing her gerus. Therefore, you're going to allow the man who did something wrong, who was onus of a fata, you're going to let him get off scot-free and not pay. So Abaya says no. Whether, even in that Mishnah, we could say that maybe, in fact, she could be moicha even at a much older age, and still, we're going to require the guy to pay the knas, because we don't want him to get away, we don't want him to get away scot-free. Whereas Tosfos says, Rava would say that's not a reason enough to take money away from him. So that's why Abaya didn't want to use that Mishnah as a basis to ask on Rabbi Yosef. Meanwhile, the Rava like Omakat Abaya, Rava in turn did not want to ask like Abaya from our Mishnah, because you could say Ksuba Haina Taima, Shalote Kalaba Ein of Lahitzia. Look, the whole reason for the Ksuba is because you don't want to make it so easy for him to divorce. So he should realize that there's a financial consequence involved. So therefore, so you could say, that's why in our Mishnah, we don't care even maybe if conceivably in later years she could be moicha and revert to being a goita, and then we're going to say she's still going to have the money. The fact is, while she was married to her husband, then you could say you still wanted a ksuba so that shaloi take halabein of lahitziya. So that wouldn't be a valid reason to take that away from her. But Rava figured, when it comes to Elu Nairus, when it comes to the knas, just because, yes, the guy did something wrong, that's not reason enough to take money away from him. Therefore, Rava preferred to ask from our Mishnah rather than from that Mishnah. Or therefore, Rava preferred rather to ask from that Mishnah in the third parak rather than from our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, you could say there's a good reason to make him have to pay the knas, to have to make him pay the ksuba regardless. Okay. Mishnah continues. Hagadol Shabal Akhtana, if a Gadol, if a boy 9 year old or over, where we've already, so Gadol usually means 13 and over, but really actually we learned already in, we learned already in Yevamos that a 9 year old bia is already considered a bia in Halacha. So here for that purpose, a Gadol means that. Shabal Akhtana, if he had relations with a Khtana who was less than 3 years old, where, as we said, the Basulim will grow back. There's a fascinating thing in this connection, by the way, that's mentioned in various places in Chassidus. There's a Yerushalmi that says the 3 years are literally until her third birthday. So what would happen, the Yerushalmi talks about, let's say you have a girl was born almost 3 years ago, and it's about to be her third birthday, and therefore her basulim would not grow back anymore if something were to happen. And now, let's say, Beis Din decides that we need to have an Ibulyar. So their decision that there's going to be an Ibulyar changes the actual facts on the ground and makes it that now Hashem will make nature follow what the Beis Din says and make it that her Basilim will still be able to grow back for another month. Yerushalmi mentions in this connection the pasuk Lakeo Goymer Aloy that Hashem completes, that Hashem makes what Beis Din here on earth decides complete and makes it work out with the actual facts on the ground. Anyway. So here we have, so she was a Ktana below three, so her Basilim will grow back. He himself was a Gadol, so therefore his Bia is a Bia, or vice versa, Katan, the Katan, or vice versa, Katan Shabal Agdola, who had, so he was below nine, so his Bia is not considered a Bia. Shabal Agdola, and he had relations with a girl who's 3 years old or older, and Umukas 8, or also a woman who was injured by wood. Where now she has no physical basulim anymore, but so in all these cases she may not have physical basulim anymore, but nevertheless Subas and Masayim, all of these women have a ksuba of 200. Because Rashi makes the point because he married her stam. He didn't specifically say, if he had specifically said that I'm marrying you only on the nas that you're a basula, then that would be a different matter. Then we'd have to get into that, whether she forfeits the silver or at least part of it or whatever. But here, where he married her, Sam, then you don't have any of that. The Gemara, by the way, talks about it in different other places. We're going to have it later on in our Masechta as well. We can say there can be Kiddushin al-Tanai. Is there Nisuin al-Tanai? Or do we say that when he does Nisuin, then at that point he's Mavatal any Tanoyim that he made? In that case, then it doesn't matter whether he made a Tanai at the Kiddushin or not. But here we could be talking about, let's say there were places, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, there were places where they used to write the Ksuba right after the Erusin, and then he's already on the hook for the Ksuba, already beginning from the Erusin. So then in that case, then whether he does al-Tanai or not would be relevant. Anyway. So divid of mayor. That's what a mayor says. All of them get ksuba of 200. The Chum say that no, we agree by the other. So we're going to see actually whether the Chachamim disagree with Reb Meir on the first two cases or not. But the Chachamim say explicitly here in the Mishnah that a mukas eitz gets only 100 because the fact is she has no basula. Continues the Mishnah. Basula almona grusha v'chalutza min anisuin. What if the woman is a basula? She still has her physical basulim, but she's an amona or grusha or chalutza min hanisuin. So she and her first husband had already done nisuin. Keep in mind, you have erusin, or otherwise known as kiddushin. Then you have nisuin, which is the chuppah. And then after that, you have the first relations. Now you could conceivably have where they did the nisuin, but they haven't yet had first relations. So she could still physically be a basula. Nevertheless, though, once the nisuin was done, then we assume that already, usually the next thing after Nisuin is usually having relations. Nisuin, especially, we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, a few possibilities, what Nisuin, otherwise known as Chuppah, is. And one of them is, it means the Yichud room, there's a very high likelihood that in fact they had relations over there. So therefore, if later on she's divorced or widowed, and someone else remarries her, then we assume already that she's a Ba'ula, because we assume that already, we assume that he married her amanas, knowing full well what she's like, that she already has a chazaka of being a ba'ul. So unlike Mishnah on Yudam Adays, at the bottom of Yudam Adays, which said that if she was an amana grusha v'chalutz mina erusin, then she gets a ksuba of 200, here it was mina nisuin, because after nisuin, there's already a chazaka that in fact she already had relations. And if the husband finds that she's not a basula, then he has no claim about it, because he can't say it was a mekach toros or anything. He knew marrying her as a nisua, there's a high likelihood that she's no longer a basula. And the Mishnah continues similarly. Hagiyoda svashvoya vashifka a gyuras, or a woman who was taken prisoner, or a shifka, shenifdubish, and isgadubish, and ishtahu, yuseiras albanos, shalosh shanim yemechad, where they were freed from captivity, or nisgaya, or freed from slavery, when they were older than three. Same thing. There's the problem that they may have had relations already, and after three, the basulim are not going to grow back. So therefore, ksubasim mana, so they get a ksuba of only 100, ve'enla hen tainas basulim, and none of them does the husband have a tainas basulim, because when he married them, he knew there's a good chance they're no longer a basula. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Amr of Yehuda Amarav, katan abala gedoyla asam mukas eight. If a katan who's below 9 years old, if he has relations with a gedoyla, So even though his bia is not considered a bia in halacha, but nevertheless it can physically damage her b'sulim. So therefore, asam mukas eight. So Rav Yehuda says in name of Rab that in effect makes her mukas eight. So we're going to have now the machlokas in our mishnah whether she's going to get 100 or 200 zuz as the ksuba. In other words, Rashi says, look, his bia is not a bia, but nevertheless, his bia is still not worse than a piece of wood getting stuck in there. So therefore, according to the Chacham of our Mishnah, Huxuba is going to be a mana. It means also, now we learned in Yevamos, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Mukas Eitz, because he has a mitzvah in the Torah to marry a Basula. Same thing. It would mean that he can't marry a woman, even if she's had relations with a man, with a boy below 9 years old. The Rashba points out now that the point is that the bia of a below 9 year old is generally not even going to remove absulim, but nevertheless an actual bia was done, and therefore she can still be considered a mukas eitz even if the actual physical krum, the actual physical member in the absulim, still exists. Nevertheless, we'd still consider that there's sort of a pagam there. There's a defect, a blemish. She's not a full fledged basula, and therefore we would consider her a mukas eitz. So Rabbi Yehuda continues, Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when I told this over to Shmuel, now Rav passed away, and then Shmuel was the head Rosh Yeshiva in Bavel. Up until that point, Rav and Shmuel had their separate yeshivas in Surah and in Nahardah, respectively. After Rav passed away, Rabbi Yehuda and others of Talmidim came to Shmuel, and Shmuel outlived Rav by 7 years. So we find many places in Shas where Rabbi Yehuda says something in the name of Rav, and then he told it over to Shmuel, and Shmuel disagreed with it. So he says, when I told that over to Shmuel, Omar, so Shmuel said, no, ein mukas eitz bebosser. There cannot be a mukas eitz through flesh. So either you're considering her a ba'ula, a woman who's had relations, or you consider her or nothing. There's no possibility of her being mukas eitz. And since you're not considering her to be a ba'ula, because after all, the boy was below 9 years old, and his bia is not considered a bia in halacha, then therefore Shmuel says it's not considered mukas eitz at all, and therefore in that case, her ksuba would be 200, and she'd be allowed to marry a kohen gadol. Now Tosfos does say, if he actually removes the psulim, then yeah, okay, she has to be a mukas eitz. But we're talking about where he didn't, like we said before, like what the Rashba says, we're talking about not necessarily did he physically remove the psulim. So Rav had argued, even though the physical psulim are still there, nevertheless, there's a pagam, there's still a certain defect, a certain blemish in her psulim, and therefore she's considered a mukas eitz. Shmuel will say no. But Tosfos says, if the psulim were actually removed, of course she's got to be like a mukas eitz. So the Gemara says, "Ikad the masnila lahashmaita ba'apinapsha." Now we learned this in connection with our Mishnah. The first version was that we had it, as Rabbi Yehuda, telling us what Rav had said and then what Shmuel had reacted. So ikad the masnila lahashmaita ba'apinapsha. There were others who learn it as by itself without Rabbi Yehuda saying anything, because the direct machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Katna bala gdola, Rav amar asam makaseitz, or Shmuel amar in makaseitz b'basim. So the same thing, but the difference is whether Rabbi Yehuda told us what Rav said and then what Shmuel said, or whether we know ourselves that Rav and Shmuel, without Rabbi Yehuda telling us, that Rav and Shmuel argued on that. Okay. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Oshia. So Rav Oshia says, I have a contradiction to Rav. We say in our Mishnah, Godol Shabalak Tana, Uktana, Uktana, Balak, Dolu, Mukaseitz. We said there are three cases in our Mishnah. A Godol, a 9-year-old, had relations with a Ktana below 3-year-old. Or a katan below 9 had relations with a gdola above 3. So in both cases, so in the first case, again, you have, he's a gadol, his bia is the bia, but her b'sulim will grow back. In the second case, we said the other way around, his bia is not a bia, but her b'sulim, if they're gone, then they're gone. And mukaseitz, ksubasim masayin diri Rameir. Rameir says all three of those, ksuba is 200. Chachamim Mukaseitz Tuvah Samana. And the Chum say Mukaseitz gets 100. Now, it sounds like the Chachamim are arguing only on the third case. It sounds like the Chachamim would agree with the mayor on the first two cases. So that fits with Shmuel. So in particular, let's focus on the second case, Katan Abal Agdola. According to Shmuel, that works out very well. Because he's a katan, unless he actually physically removed her b'sulim, like Tosfos says, then just the fact that he had bia with her doesn't matter, because his bia is not considered a bia in halacha, and it doesn't create any pagam, like Rav is saying. So therefore, therefore the chacham would agree that she gets a ksuba of 200. But if you're telling me that, Rav, you're telling me that she doesn't get a ksuba of 200, then the chacham should be arguing in that case also. And the answer is, Amar Rav HaHachi Kamar. You can say that Rav would explain the Mishnah as follows. Gadol HaBaal HaKtana V'loi Klum. If he's 9 and she's below 3, then it doesn't count for anything. It doesn't make her lose anything because the Pachas Mekan can noise an Etzba B'ayin Gam. Because when she's less than 3, it's like putting a finger into an eye. Meaning the Mishnah elsewhere uses that metaphor. In other words, like you stick a finger in your eye, it causes tears to come out, but tears will keep on coming out. They don't dry up. In the same vein, we say that if she was below 3 and she loses her besulim, they will grow back. Well, obviously, when we say, we don't mean, obviously it can have other effects on her. We're not getting into that. We're not talking about the psychological effects and all that. We're talking about the physical effects. We're saying the besulim will grow back. So therefore, so that's what the Mishnah means then, that below klum, that it's as if, so everybody would agree then that she has a ksuba, that she has a ksuba of 200. But then, in the second case, now continues the Mishnah. This is the way Rav would explain the Mishnah, that if he was a cotton and she was a gola, where now her b'sulim are not going to grow back anymore. So even if he didn't physically damage her b'sulim, nevertheless, I saw mukaseit, by doing that, he makes her a mukaseit. In other words, Rav, in effect, is saying that's as if a chasuri mechsur, as if like the Mishnah is missing a phrase. So he makes her a mukas eitz, and which is what Rav would hold, the mukas eitz gufa. And when you come to a mukas eitz herself, pluk the din of meir v'rabbanan, then you have a machlokes from meir and the chachamim, what the din is, whether she gets 200 or 100 for her ksuba. So Rav would explain the Mishnah. In other words, that the Mishnah is not talking about that the Mishnah is talking about three cases, but the last two are basically the same thing. Gadol katan abal agdola is basically the same thing as mukas eitz, according to Rav, and therefore in both of them, the mayor and the Chachamim would be disagreeing. As opposed to, according to Shmuel, we would say the first two cases of the Mishnah, the Chachamim would in fact agree, that Ksubas Masayim, and only in the third case, where Mukas Eitz, would they be arguing. So the Gemara continues, Omer Rami Bachama, Machloikas Peshehikirba. The whole Machloikas is, in our Mishnah, is only when he knew, when he married her and wrote the Ksuba, he knew already that she's a Mukas Eitz, and he married her. He married her almanasdat, which the Shita Mukabetis points out that it's not even it doesn't even matter, like we said before, at the bottom of Amar Aleph, it wouldn't even matter whether at the time of the Kiddushin he knew or not. As long as at the time of the Nisuin he knows of it and writes out the Tzuba, then we would say, like we said before, even if he had said the Kiddushin, almanas, that she's a Basula, but nevertheless, by the time of the Nisuin, he's obviously been Mavato that. So therefore, so if he knew of that, So now, did a mayor medami lola begeres? So now the mayor compares a mukas eitz to a begeres. Now a begeres was already half a year past the bas mitzvah, so already her besulim are anyway not intact. Bechlau, the Rambam talks about, in connection with the whole discussion that on Daf Yud, the Pesach Pasuah, the Rambam explains, as a woman gets older, the muscles, they are naturally relaxed and stretch anyway, and therefore you don't really find, like this we discussed before, Pesach Pasuah, but the husband may claim that it wasn't as tight as he expected, but by a Begeris, you don't really find that anymore anyway. By a Begeris, you expect it to be looser anyway. So that's in a certain sense, Begeris does not really have full Basula in any more anyway. The membrane stretches out and then shrinks and whatever, and therefore, so there's not really such a tinus basulim with a begeris anyway. It's more with a katana or a naira. So the mayor compares her to a begeris and saying, listen, a begeris, the fact is that the basulim are not as strong as they were when she was younger. Nevertheless, she still has a ksuba of 200. So therefore, mukaseit is no different than that. Where's the Chachamim compare a mukas eitz to a ba'ula, to a woman who's already had relations, because the fact is something went in there. So therefore, so they're saying that she only gets 100. But, says Rami Bachama, if he didn't know when he married her that she was Mokaseit, give her a hackle for Loi Klum, that both the mayor and the Chachamim would agree that there's no Ksuba at all because he married her thinking that she was a Psula, and now it turns out that he's a Mekach Tos. So we said before there can be, if you make a Tnai, then he might be Mevato with Tnai before he married. But here we're not even talking that there was a Tnai. He married her thinking that she's a Basula. He wrote out a Ksuba saying that she's a Basula. And now it turns out that not. So he can argue that's a Mekach Tos and he goes to Beis Din and that he has does Titus Basula over there. And if it turns out that it's correct that she's not a Basula, then in fact she has no Ksuba at all, according to Rami Bacham. So the Gemara asks, Rav Meir, Amai Medami Lola Begeres, knew, why does Rav Meir compare her to a Begeres? Nedamia Labu'ula, why indeed doesn't he agree if Rami Bachama is saying the fundamental point of the Machloikas is she like a Ba'ula? Is she like a Begeres, where her Basulim naturally stretch out as she gets older, but not a Ba'ula, not that she actually had relations, and the Chacham are saying we consider her more like a Ba'ula. Well, why would Rav Meir consider her more like a Begeres? Nedamia Labu'ula, why doesn't he compare her to a Ba'ula? And the answer is, Ba'ula is Abed B'mais, B'dei Adam. Because the fact is, Ba'ula, something was done by human agency. A person, a man, had relations with her. Ha, one comes to him, Mokaseit, Lo is Abed B'mais, B'dei Adam. Nothing happened B'dei Adam. It was a natural thing that happened, that she got injured. So therefore, you can compare it, the mayor says, to a Begeris, which is also a natural thing, as she gets older, that her B'sulim stretch out. Okay, V'rabbanon, Adam Gamulo, Ba'ula, Nidamulo, Begeris. Well, let's ask according to the Chachamim. Instead of comparing her to a Ba'ula, why don't they compare her to a Begeris? And the answer is, Begeris, for Yisabed B'maisa Klau, because the fact is, a Begeris, nothing was done at all. Her Basulim naturally stretch out and weaken and whatever, but nothing was actually done to damage them at all. Ho Yisabed B'maisa, the fact is, here, something was done. She was injured by a piece of wood, which caused her to lose her Basulim, so therefore the Chachamim figure that more logically it makes more sense to compare her to a Ba'ula. Okay, so Now, let's figure out. We said so far then that according to Rami Bachama, there's a difference whether Hikirba or Loi Hikirba. We're saying if Hikirba, that if he knew when he married her that she's not a Basula anymore, that she's a Mokaseit, then the Chachamim are going to say that she still has a Basula of 100, and her mayor is going to say 200 even. But if Loi Hikirba, then we're saying both the mayor and the Chachamim would agree that it's a Mekach Tos and she has no Basula at all. So let's analyze that. We said Ava Loi Hikirba Divrei Hakol Loi Klum. So you're telling me if he didn't know when he married her that she wasn't a Basula, then everybody would agree, both the Chachamim and the mayor, which she gets, would say she gets nothing. Masi Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says I have a contradiction on that. A Mishnah, a couple of black further, says along a case where he marries her and finds that she's not a Basula. He emeres mukas eitz ani. She claims that I was a mukas eitz. Vehu oimer, and the husband says Loi ki ela drusas ishat. And he says, no, not so. And actually, we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara. It's not that he's saying a tainus vade. He's saying a tainus suffit. He's saying maybe you had relations with a man. Drusas literally means stepped on. In other words, maybe you had relations with a man, and therefore, so it would be a mekachtos. So what happens? The Mishnah says, Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer oimim nehemenes. Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer say that we can believe her, that she's a mukaseit. And Rav Yeshua goes on in the Mishnah to say, Rav Eliezer oimim pionu chayin, and say that he disagrees. Now you can have a case where she's mukas eitz after the erusin. That would be a different case. That's what we talked about. We had at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We had something called mistachfa sadevi, where she can say your field Beis Amud Beis, whatever. That she can say your field was flooded. In other words, it's your bad mazel. You did kedushin with me already when I was still a basula. Afterwards, I had an accident and I became a mukas eitz. That's your tough luck. I still get my 200. But here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about where she says Mokas Eitzayisi before you were ever Makadosh. And also the Pnei Yeshua points out, it can't be, when we talk about what is she Ne'emenes on, it can't be that we're saying Ne'emenes, that she's saying that I'm not also to you, and he's saying Jerusas Ish, and therefore you're also to me. The Pnei Yeshua says you can't say that because after all, we're talking about, he's not claiming that, because the Mishnah is not, if he meant to say, if he's claiming that she had relations after the Erusin, the Mishnah would have said so. It doesn't say so, implying that he's claiming he had relations before the Erusin. Well, then those don't answer to him. So the only question is on the Ksuba. So Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer say that we believe her. So even though he didn't know she was a Mukas Eitz, we're still saying that she has a Ksuba. At least according to Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer. Whereas according to Rabbi Bachama, we're saying nobody holds that she has a ksuba. So therefore, Ella Omar Rava, so Rava says no. Based on that Mishnah then, Rami Bahama's Shita does not work. So rather, Rava says no. It's like this. Bain Hikuba, Bain Ubain Lay Hikuba, whether he knew when he married her that she was a Mukas Eitz or he did not, but a mayor Mosayim, according to the mayor, either way she gets 200 zuras because like we said before, the mayor compares a Mukas Eitz to a Ba'ula, and not to a Ba'ula, to a Begeras, and a Begeras regardless gets 200. The question is, loy hikuba. What happens if he, whether hikuba or loy hikuba, lora meir masayim, lora banan, or instead of banan, there's a difference. Hikuba mona, if he knew at the time of the wedding that she was a mukaseit, then mona, then she gets her mona, loy hikuba, loy klum. But if he didn't realize at the time that, and therefore we can say that there was a mechachtos, then therefore that is when we would say that she doesn't get anything. So the Mishnah later on would be appointed a mayor, not appointed to the Chacham. The problem with Rami Bachama was that it seemed, since he said that everybody agrees that there can be a case where she doesn't get anything, loy hikurba, then she doesn't get anything, then how could Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, then we have opinions over there, the Mishnah, saying that that she would get, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer rather, saying that she would get a ksuba. So according to Rami Bachama, it didn't fit, because neither the Chacham nor the mayor would hold it. Now, they're all Tanoim, of course, they can argue with each other, but still, the Mishnah has to be phrased according to one Tana, according to either the mayor or the Chachamim, and within that opinion, we'll have the difference of whether we believe her about the, claiming that she was Mukas Eitz, or whether we believe him that she was Duros Asish. But now that we have Rava telling us that there's a case where that according to the mayor, you can have a case of Loi Hikurba and she still gets a ksuba, well then that's the argument over there on the Mishnah later on Daf Yud Gimel would be within the mayor's opinion would be what Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yezer versus Rabbi Yeshua hold. So that's how Rava explains it. However, the Gemara says Vahodir Bei Rav, but Rava ended up changing his mind and saying that regardless that there's no mekach tos because we don't assume that a person is going to undo. We don't understand that a person is going to undo his whole marriage just because he found her not absolah. He may not be happy with it. He wanted to marry absolah, but he's not going to go say the whole thing was a mekach tos and undo the whole marriage because of that. Rava changed his mind. So originally Rava didn't have that svara, but now he has that svara. D'tanya, and we know that because we learn in a brisa. Kate said haitzoras shemna. How does Hotzoras Shemra work? Now, the Torah tells us in Parashas Kisetze, we're going to talk about it in great detail in the fourth parak of our Masechta, where a husband comes after he has relations with his wife the first time, he comes and claims, L'matzasi b'sulim, and he's claiming, not just like we said, that maybe she's a Mukas Eitz, or maybe whatever, he's actually claiming that she actually was Mizana B'rotzen after the Erusin, in which case, she's also, not only she's also to him, she'd be Chayav Misa. So how does that procedure work? So Bala based in. So there's a pasuk describes what you do. If it turns out that he's true and there are edim to substantiate it, whatever, then yes, we give her skila. If not, then we give him malchus for being motzi shemra on a Jewish woman, and we make him pay a fine, and he's never allowed to divorce her. So the braisa over here that we're going to quote summarizes the whole procedure. The Kate said Hotzoras Shemra. How does that whole procedure of Hotzoras Shemra work? Bala Beis Din. It starts with the husband coming to Beis Din with Omar, and he says, he turns to the father of the Kala, and he says, Ploini, you loy matzasi lebitcha besulim. I did not find that your daughter has besulim. And again, it means more than just he's saying she's not a besula. It means, as we're going to learn in the fourth parak, that it means he's saying that she was mizana during the erusin. So, im yesh edim shezinta tachtav, if in fact there were edim to substantiate that she was mizana after the erusin, yesh la ksuba mana, then she has a ksuba of 100. So, Gemara interjects one second. Yesh edim shezinta tachtav baskila, she gets skila, she's not getting any ksuba. What it means is, the hochi kama, what the braisa means is, im yesh edim shezinta tachtav baskila, if there were edim that she was mizana after the erusin, so she's already an eshesish, then she gets skila. And usually, by the way, the rule is usually an Eishas Ish only gets Chenek. But here, because of this din of Motzi Shemra, because she was a Nair of Basula, then therefore she gets upgraded all the way to Skila. We're going to talk about it in the fourth paragraph in detail. Anyway, continues the Braisa. But if she had been the Zana before the Erasin, so then that doesn't answer her to him unless she was a Kohen, unless he's a Kohen. Actually, even if he's a Kohen, unless the man she was Mizana with is someone who would passel her, like we lived in Yuvamis. Anyway, so if it was before the, if it's true that she was Mizana, but it was before the Erisin, so she's not Chayiv Nisa, Yeshla Ksuba Mana, so therefore she still has a Ksuba, but it's only a Ksuba of 100, because she wasn't a Basula when they got married. And the Omer of Chiba Oven Omer of Sheches, and Rav Chiya Ba'Oven says in the name of Rav Sheshes on this Braisa, Zois Emeris, we see from this Braisa, Konsa B'Cheskes Ba'Ula, that if the husband married the wife with a Chazaka, that she was a Basula, thinking that she was a Basula, V'Nimtis Ba'Ula, and it turns out that she in fact had relations already, Yeshlo Ksuba Mana, then she still has a Ksuba of 100, because that's exactly what we're saying in this Braisa. Now that we fixed up the wording of the Braisa, that's exactly what we're saying, that in that case, she has a Ksuba, it's just a Ksuba only of 100. So we still haven't gotten yet how we know that Rava changed his mind. We first have to go through the whole discussion before we reach how we know that Rava changed his mind. Masiv Rav Nachman. Now Rav Nachman said, I have a contradiction to that. You're telling me that if you married who is thinking that she's a Basula, and it turns out that she's a Ba'ula, she has 100. It's not a Mekach Toos. But later on, we have a Mishnah later on, and days on days, Hanoseh Se'ishav Le'matzal Basulim, a man marries a woman, and he doesn't find the Sulim. He and Meres Mesher Astani Ne'enasti. She claims that after the Erisin, I was raped. So therefore, V'nistach V'sadehu. And therefore, your field is flooded. Like we said before, in other words, it's your bad mazel. So I don't lose anything of my Ksuba, because when you were Makadish me, I was already a Basula. I was still a Basula. And now that I'm not a Basula anymore, it's not my fault. And it happened after you already Makadish me, and therefore it's your tough luck, and you still have to give me the 200. So that's her claim. He says, no, it happened before, it happened, it may have happened, whatever, before the Erisin, and therefore my kedushin of you to begin with was mekachtos. So now the implication is that he's saying the less laklal. So now he's saying that she shouldn't. Yeah, the implication seems to be that he's saying that she doesn't get a ksuba at all. Because if a mekach toast, then he doesn't get it. Then there shouldn't be a ksuba at all. So Rav Sheshes, you're telling us that konsa b'cheskes b'sula v'nimtes b'ula, then she gets 100. But from that mishnah, it sounds like he's saying mekach toast, meaning nothing at all. And so that was Rav Nachman's question. Ve'omalahu. Rav Chiya Ba'Oven, and Rav Chiya Ba'Oven says to them, or Lay says to him, whatever, Efshir of Amra B'chol, Gela Adur Yastviki, Amra of Sheshes Bosh, those he says, it can't be that the Mishnah contradicts Rav Sheshes. Says Rav Chiya Ba'Oven, consider what the scenario was there. Efshir, is it possible? Rav Amra B'chol, Gela Adur Yastvi, Rav Amra and all the other great Talmid Chacham of that generation were sitting together, Ki Amra of Sheshes Bosh Maita. When Rav Sheshes said this statement that she has a mona, the kasha lahu. So don't you realize that they were all sitting over there, the kasha lahu? They wouldn't have missed this mishnah. They asked him that exact same question, the shani, and he answered, "My mekach tos nami mosayim." You know what? When he said mekach tos, he doesn't mean that he wants to undo the whole thing and say I shouldn't have to pay a ksuba at all. He wants to say that should be two. That should be 100 instead of 200. Alva mana isla, but she still was entitled to the mana either way. So at amrif less laklal. So how do you, Rav Nachman, want to prove from that mishnah that when he says mekach tos means he's claiming there should be nothing at all? Don't you realize that Rav Amram and all the other daily ador clearly explain that it means, in order to make the mishnah fit with what Rav Sheshes says, that it means that he's saying only 100. There Amar Rava. So now we come in with what Rava says. So what Rava says, Manda Kamoisiv, actually the one who asked the question, meaning Rav Nachman, Shapir Kamoisiv, as a matter of fact, he had a very good question. Rav Chiya Ba'Oven, you're saying, how could Rav Nachman even ask the question if Rav Amram and everybody else explained the Mishnah differently? Because the fact is, Mekach Tos, the Gamri Mashma. The fact is, the word Mekach Tos seems to imply a complete Mekach Tos. Now, it's a doichet to say that it means only that he's saying 100 instead of 200. Mekach Tos usually implies just that it means that he's claiming nothing at all. That he's claiming I shouldn't have to give anything at all. So fine, Rav Amram and company may have said that it means only 100, but Rav Nachman has every right to say that. That's a big doich to say that way. And Rava says, so therefore, Rav Nachman has a very good question. How could Rav Sheshes say that she gets 100, that she gets 100, when the Mishnah seems to be clearly implying with the words Mekach Tos that she gets nothing? Okay, the problem still is then we have, so we're back to the Braisa that we said about Motzi Shemra, where we said once we fixed up the words of the Braisa, because we said the words of the Braisa the way we had it didn't make sense. It said that if she was Mizana during the Eris and she gets 100, she doesn't do it, Skila. So we had fixed it up to say that if she was Mizana before the Erisin, that she gets 100. Well, instead, Rava says, Tritzvei Mahochi. Instead, you can rework the wording of the Braisa as follows. Im yesh edim shezinsa tachta v'skila. If there were edim that she was Mizana during the Erisin, then she gets skila. Zinsa me'ikra. If there were edim, but that she was Mizana before the Erisin, v'loi klum, then she doesn't get anything, because it was mekachtos. Nimtis mukas eight. But the Mishnah, the Braisa, would be implying that you have a third possibility, which is that she's a mukas eight, and then yesh lo ksuba mana, and then we would say that she has a ksuba of 100. So not necessarily. So we can, once we have to fix up the wording of the Braisa anyway, then we can fix up, then say that the Braisa is referring to various cases, one of them being where she's a mukas eight, where then it's saying she got the mana. But in fact, the Braisa could in fact be implying, like we assumed originally, that if was that. that if there was a mekachtos, she would in fact forfeit everything. There wouldn't even be 100. So now that we have that, the Rava who the Amar the Rabbanon lahikuba the loyfum. Now Rava himself is the one who said that according to the Chachamim we had before, when we had Rami Bahama's understanding and then we had Rava's understanding, where Rava said that according to the Chachamim, if lahikuba the loyfum, that if you didn't know at the time of the marriage that she's not a basula, then she doesn't get anything. And now, so he said, and now all of a sudden he's saying that the Braisa is saying that if she's a mukas eight, so we had the case we were talking about, Rami Bachoma and Rava, was where he didn't know she was a mukas eight, and he discovered that she's a mukas eight. So Rava had understood the Chachamim to be saying that in that case she still gets 100. Well, Rava had said there that the Chachamim would say she gets nothing. Here all of a sudden Rava is explaining the Braisa to say that she gets 100. Elashramina Hodrebe Rava, Me'ahi. So obviously Rava must have changed his mind and said that we don't say mekachtos, that we don't say mekachtos completely. We do in fact say that she gets 100. So he agreed in the end with Rab Amram and company's understanding that mekachtos can mean a ksuba of 100 rather than no ksuba at all. And then it would mean that the later Mishnah, when we talk about where she claims mukas eight, and he says you might be duros hasish, that would actually be even according to the Chachamim. We don't have to say it's appointed Rav Meir anymore. So Rav Meir would say she's claiming 200. The Chama saying she's claiming 100, and then we have Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua and Rav Eliezer arguing about that. So Rava obviously changed. So Rava obviously changed his mind and said therefore that mukas eight, whether hikuba or loy hikuba, there is a ksuba of a mana. When he claims mekachtos, he's not claiming complete mekachtos. He's saying that he owes only 100. So we'll continue on that topic more in the next shiur, Be'ez Hashem.